Well, blessing and welcome and hospitality, Christ hospitality to you on this day. A warm greeting in Jesus' name. And we're happy you're here for Thirsty Thursday. Today we want to jump into a text for Mark 13, verses 1 to 8. One of those texts that, again, will add a little bit of uncomfortability to us and to our souls and spirits, because we have to ask, what's going on? What is Jesus talking about? What's he foretelling? And so here's the word. Again, Mark 13, verses 1 to 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Well, folks who are listening today, this is an important end to this section of scripture, because where we would want to say this is pointing out the end times, the end of things, Jesus is saying, no, things are just getting started. He's offering a word of caution, saying, slow down, you're getting wrapped around the wheel, around all of this other prophetic voice in the world that, look, this is how things are going to stop. And I think we can get wrapped around that because we can become alarmist, or because we're looking for a sign or a symbol of something, right? And as we do that, again, it's a distraction to the main thing. The main thing here is Jesus is centering himself in the disciples' lives, in the world's life, and he is working to decenter or to move away from the, quote, temple system maybe that was there in place, and how people had bet their lives on that, that the center of faith is the temple versus the center of faith being a person, a Lord and Savior, his name being Jesus. And I think that is a major prophetic move here, because again, this is what gets Jesus crucified ultimately. He points beyond the temple system, beyond the temple authorities, beyond the powers of the world. And that is what gets him in a lot of trouble. And if you were to continue to read on in this story, right after this, he begins to talk about persecutions. So he's basically centered himself in people's lives and in the world story. This is what God is. This is what God's going to do. God is going to be on the move. God is going to do many things. But for you all here who are going to live into this story, you need to know persecution is going to come. Because if you bet your life on Jesus, if you bet your life on his testimony of the future, that life and love are going to win, that God is going to do a new thing, then they're going to come after you too. Because the world loves their systems. The world loves the power that they've centered on. And again, Jesus is really stirring the imagination and hope. But a reminder, when you see the destruction of things, the falling apart of things, the struggles of the world, don't get wrapped around that this is the end time, but rather a very key part of living. That is part of the deal. Humanity lives in the midst of struggle. And things are built up and things fall down. A system gets put in place and that system falls apart. There's all kinds of change that happens in life. And our challenge is to see God in the midst of that versus God bringing an end to humanity or to human life. So we got to focus. Got to focus in on Jesus here. And Jesus is in the temple teaching, and then he goes over to the Mount of Olives, which is opposite the temple, and they're looking back over the temple. And that's where they're in this conversation. And he talks about the many who will come and claim to be God and those kinds of things. He's trying to center them on his voice and to share that gospel message of life that he brings. And again, for people not to chase after one message to the next message and wondering what is truth. This is why when he goes before Pilate here, eventually he says, what is truth? I am truth. God is truth. And that's the gift. And so a few life lessons here for discipleship. The world around us can be a very confusing place, right? With a whole lot going on. And we talk about if you sit down and watch the evening news, you might not always sleep well at night because of all kinds of famines, natural disasters, disease, and the way humanity and the world sometimes goes askew in a disruption kind of way. It's very troubling to see all of that, especially in our 24/7 media world where we take on all of the world's problems all at once. The news doesn't slow down to say, let us give you some time to digest what we just told you of what's going on in your own neighborhood. We now are sharing all the concerns and problems and hurts and hopes of the world, and it can short circuit our faith, our spirit, our mind, our soul. And so it's good for us to slow down, to listen what Jesus says, and to look toward the kingdom that he points to, where there is pain, but there also is life, where there is challenge in following Jesus, but there is also great joy in following Jesus, because Jesus, God, will be in the midst of it all. And Jesus knows, as he's told them and will tell them again here in the gospel, that life and love is going to win. The tomb is going to be empty, that he will do what God has given him to do, and he will come out on the other side with resurrection hope. He will rise in 3 days. He will show them his hands and feet inside, but he's present. He's there. And then he ascends. It's the power of the empty tomb where we are freed from the power struggles that this world puts us in. And we're free to love and to serve all of creation. We're welcomed into that vision of a kingdom where there is love, there is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness. But a question for you today as you partake in this word: when God is speaking to you, how often do you choose to ignore that message that might be sent or look the other way? And why is it so difficult to discern what God is speaking? What do you think? Why is that so challenging for us? And another question is, recognizing that we kind of get set in our ways and we think there's a particular way something should be done, but then God may tell us something that seems a little crazy. In our house, we say cray cray, very cray cray, very crazy. And he's talking here to the disciples about the destruction of the temple. And that seems really crazy. How's that even possible? Well, are we open to the possibility that God is trying to teach us something new? And to help us to understand what it truly means to be a kingdom people, a people who live beyond, quote, the systems of the world, the temple system, one particular way of being, to see how God really is at work. Where do you see God at work? Where do you see God stirring in you? You know, in my Bible here that I have, I sometimes mark up the pages. I'm not one of those people who has one Bible. I've got like 15 different ones here and there, and I mark a page or I write a note down. I'm not the most organized that way, and I just pick a Bible up wherever I am, and I turn to a text, and I start jotting these things down. But in this one study Bible I have here in front of me today, I wrote at the very end of this short few verses that we read, I said, you know, this is about endings and beginnings, yes? It's about the daily events of life, yes? It's about death and resurrection, yes? And then I put, so let's crack open the empty tomb. Let's experience Easter. Let's see that God is not done yet, that God will do a new thing. Have no fear. Because you won't remember the fear That will go away. You just have to trust that what God is going to bring about is better than what's known even in the now. And I got to keep reading that, folks, over and over and over again, that what is to come is even better than the now, trusting that God continues to work, that Jesus is going to show up in life, yes, in persecution, yes, in and through destruction, because God does not stop. God does not quit. God does not tire. God does not throw in the towel. I remember on a travel trip to Jerusalem, sitting there on those temple steps where Jesus was taken up as an infant child to be brought into the temple and to be recognized as this Son of God, this new Son of God that God brings into the world. I walked around and saw the stones that had been thrown down and tumbled around the border of this temple that had been sacked and ransacked many times over. And seeing the size of those stones, same thing. It's beyond your imagination. How did they build it, but how could it be destroyed? And we recognize in that story, we had time to sit there on those steps, that it mimics the story of when Jesus talks about he too will be torn down in 3 days. Jesus' own life will be torn down. But what God's going to replace that with is something even greater. I want an amen out there if you're listening. Because resurrection is coming. Yes, the world thought they had destroyed God and had eliminated Jesus. But Jesus came back. God raised him from the dead. And that temple of his own body that would be destroyed, it was now being restored. Resurrection was taking place. And the same is true for you and me. All that we build up may be gone in a heartbeat. All that we give our lives to may not last. But God is there, building something new, building something better. I'd say keeping the main thing. Centering our lives not on the systems of the world, but on the person, on the Lord and Savior Jesus. And so, folks, powerful words here, just on 8 short verses in the Gospel of Mark. But before I let you go, just a couple other notes. If you were looking at this text and you were considering the systems that you built your life on, what are those systems? And what does God say? What is God speaking to you today within those systems? Consider things that you no longer have that you used to have, or things that you used to believe so much in that maybe you don't today, and what's taken its place? What new thing has sprung up in that place, and how is that bringing you a new life? And then remember, in Mark's gospel, this is always about discipleship. To be a disciple is a call to follow Jesus to the cross and to the empty tomb. To be a disciple of Christ is a lifelong journey. So what does it look like to follow Jesus throughout the whole of life? Those beginning chapters, those beginning days. In your 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and in, yes, even in your early hundreds. What does it look like, Jesus, what does it look like to follow Jesus throughout life? We have all of this promise that comes from God. Jesus always points to a promise that what is to come will be better than what is now. That the worst thing that happens to us will not be the last. Death will not have a say. Only life and love will. And so, church, on this day, stay thirsty. Keep digging into the Word. Take a close look at where Jesus is active and the foundation that you build your life on. Remember, God loves you always and forever. Stay thirsty, my friends.